June 10th, 2010.
Brother Freestone?
Paul taught us about our two natures and about the struggle within. James wrote about the man who is double-minded and about his instability. But David sang about his divided heart and the turmoil it brought to him. I'd like for us to consider these few days matters of the heart. The divided heart, the complacent heart, the fervent heart, and the untroubled heart. So if you'll turn with me to the 86th Psalm, we'll read about the divided heart. In order to get the thought that David was giving, let us read the whole psalm. Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, before I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Attend unto the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. For thou, God, art alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, be proud. The proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servants, and save the son of thine handmaiden. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me, and comforted me. This psalm is titled A Prayer of David. He had set his prayer in poetry to be sung and remembered. This title, A Prayer of David, was not something that some editor put into a study Bible. It has been there as long as there is any way to search back. It is a part of the psalm, so let us consider it as David's prayer. And the verses that we especially want to observe are verses 11 and 12. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. David's problem was a divided heart. Years ago, there was a popular song that began, "Two loves have I, both are in my heart. Two loves have I, and they tear me apart." And the song went on to describe each one. The eternal triangle, and it never works. Divided loyalty, divided love, divided affections, and they never work, and they only result in sorrow for everyone involved or everyone around. A divided heart with its divided loyalty results in a life in disarray. And this is to be seen very readily by all of us. All we have to do is just to see what's going on around us, to see what a divided loyalty, divided affections bring. They bring nothing but sorrow, a life of regret, and pain and sorrow that in most cases lasts for a lifetime. David had ample opportunity, as we know, for divided affections in the natural, but he applies it here to the spiritual realm. Our natural lives and their course are often used in the scriptures for illuminating our spiritual life and the way we live, and this is the case here. King David doubtless was in trouble when he wrote this psalm. He doesn't tell us what the trouble was, but he turned unto the Lord. And he tells us about his problems. And as a sovereign, he had ample opportunity to have his life divided into several different ways. The problems of state, the problems among his own acquaintances and those whom served him, and in his own life. But here he sees very clearly the heart of his matter, of his problem. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So, in the midst of all of his troubles, he turns unto the Lord, which of course is the cure for all of the problems that we have, is to turn unto the Lord. And he gives us the solution to this problem of a divided heart and divided loyalties. He said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name, to turn to the Lord in every circumstance of life, to fear the Lord is the solution to all problems. In counseling with people, how often that was the last thing they wanted to do? They've had their own agendas, and they had their own ideas. And doubtless David experienced this here. So he gives us four steps to unite our heart, to solve this problem of a divided heart, which always leads to turmoil and sorrow in life. The first is to fear the Lord, to fear His name, to fear the name of the Lord. That name in the Old Testament was synonymous for God Himself. His name meant everything about Him. All of His attributes were wrapped up in that name. And this is a lesson that the Jewish people have learned very carefully. They do not even mention the name of the Lord, that sacred name. They go too far in that, of course, because it was freely used in worship in the Old Testament. But in referring to God, they use the phrase Hashem, which means the name. That is the title by which they refer to God in reverence. How lightly do we oftentimes use the name of the Lord? And sometimes even vainly. But the name of the Lord is to be feared. And of course, the word fear here doesn't mean fright. It doesn't mean terror. It means reverence. To reverence the Lord is always the first step in facing any of our problems, and certainly in a divided heart, one torn in different ways. To fear the name of the Lord, to reverence Him. Sometimes I think we don't reverence the Lord as much as we should. It is true that He is our friend, our best friend. It is true that the Scripture says He is our brother, that He has experienced everything that we experience in life, and that He was made in every respect like unto us in humanity. It is true that God is our Father, and that we can, Paul showed us, address Him as Jesus Himself did, with that intimate name of Abba or Daddy. All of these things are very true, that He is nearer to us than the very throb of our hearts. And yet it is also true, He is the sovereign of the universe. He is the Lord to be honored and served. The New Testament apostles, Paul, in two or three of his letters, and James in his letter and Peter describe themselves as the Lord's slave. That he is the master and we the slave of the Lord. So we do owe him due honor and respect and fear. And when we come into his presence, we must come with that attitude. With joy, of course, but also with due respect and honor to him and to his name. So the first step in resolving a divided heart, one torn between the Lord and the world, or one torn between the Lord and family, is to fear the Lord. To turn our hearts to him. Years ago, a very dear friend of mine who loved the Lord and put his tithe religiously, and I mean that religiously, into the church every month, and who was honest in his business dealings. I was talking to him about how important the Lord is in our life and deserves all of our heart and all of our time and our to be in our schedules. And he says, you know, I know this means more to you than anything in life, but it just isn't that important to me. You know, not everybody is that honest. But his life since then has grown farther from the Lord, though he still loves the Lord, but not that much. So the first step in healing a divided heart is to fear or to reverence, to honor the name of the Lord in all of our life. And the next step is, he said, teach me thy way, O Lord. The ways of the Lord. David frequently mentions that. And you remember that scripture in Isaiah where he said, my ways are not your ways. So to learn the ways of the Lord. And how do we do that? How do we learn the ways of the Lord? We learn them in the every day of our life, in the everyday experiences of life. Every experience of life, as the Holy Spirit is using to teach us the way of the Lord. Wanda mentioned to wait on the Lord and to turn our hearts to the Lord to wait his time. Every experience of the Lord, every day, is a lesson in how we can learn the ways of the Lord and how we can see his dealings with us and with his children and with the people of the Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me how not to be impatient. Teach me how to be a Christian in a Christian way, when things get tough in personal relationships. Teach me how I should live and how I should walk. Teach me thy way, O Lord. So that is the second step in healing a broken heart, or a divided heart, so that it will be wholly given to the Lord. And the third step is, I will walk in thy truth. We might say, I will obey your word. We will walk in his truth, and as we know, for us who believe the Lord as we do, the Bible contains all truth. And that is the way to walk in his truth, is to learn that truth, to learn it for ourselves, not just in a creed, not just in a doctrinal statement, not just in what we hear in church, but to walk or to live our daily life according to the truth of God's word, and to apply it to our lives, and to walk, fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, to learn his ways, and to obey his teachings. These three steps are steps to take to center our heart on him. And then we can say, as David did, I will praise thee, Lord, with all my heart. Years ago, a friend of ours, after a number of years, was filled with the Spirit, and his face was aglow with the joy of the Lord. He was rejoicing, and everyone about him was too. And my wife said unto him, now the Lord has all of you. And he said, no, not quite. There's a little bit that he doesn't have yet. That too has defined the rest of his life, for he has not advanced in the years since. And so if we find that our heart is torn, if we find that it is divided, that our loyalties are divided, these four steps are the way to unite our heart so that we can truly worship him and glorify his name with all of our heart, without reservation. And the result of a united heart is a life worthwhile. First, it is calm, not agitated. Read in the scriptures about those great heroes of the faith. Think of our Lord as he stood in the Sanhedrin, all 70 members and other priests. Well, not quite all, but most of the 70 members and the priest, lusting for his blood, angry with him, and raving against him, the high priest, and all of them. And there he stood before them and said not a word. He stood calm and collected among them. Or when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate marveled at his calm demeanor, and that he said he never said not a word until Pilate addressed him directly. And the united heart is confident. Picture Paul on the deck of that ship that was out of control and sinking. And he stood on the deck of that ship, calm and collected, when everyone else was very disturbed. And he said unto them, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. Here he's giving advice to the captain. And not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer in the midst of one of those Adriatic storms. Be of good cheer when you've had to throw all the cargo and gear overboard and the rudder has snapped. Be of good cheer when the wind is driving you to certain destruction. He says, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of one's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. His heart was united. His heart was fully given to God, as his whole career showed. And here he stood calmly advising them, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. He stood there confidently in the midst of disaster. And a united heart is a committed heart, one fully committed to the Lord, and one that can say, I will praise thee with all my heart. So let us be careful to fear or honor the Lord, to learn and walk in his ways, and to obey his teachings, walk in his truth, and then we can say, I will praise thee with all my heart. This is a short lesson today. The next lesson isn't until 11. So give us time to visit, but let us keep in mind to give our hearts wholly unto the Lord, a united heart.